John, known as the beloved apostle, wrote the Gospel of John, three letters here, and the book of Revelation, and was given this great truth from Christ. It is said that John died as a martyr by being boiled in oil, thrown into a vat. Every apostle was martyred in some way. Peter crucified head down in Rome, possibly. Paul was beheaded with the sword, like that. And here is John writing. Let me read to you verses 1 through 6, 1 John 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit or teaching, but test the teaching, the teachers, whether they are of God, because many false prophets or teachers have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every teaching that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every teaching that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because the one in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The subject here is the battle for truth. And John's purpose in writing this paragraph is to warn Christians of false teaching and to reveal God's provision for us. So there's a twofold. And I want to alert us this morning to the fact that we are at war. This is warfare. It is a battle, but it's bigger than a battle. It's a war. We are in a war for truth. And John brings up the problem of false teaching. Now, it happened very early in the church history. Very early, Paul, John, and Peter are confronted with false teaching. People who are departing from biblical truth, and it's there. Jesus spoke of it. False teachers are going to come. And we have many biblical statements about them. Now in our day, because the population has grown, and because of technology and being able to reach more people, there is more false teaching today than there in any period of church history. So we face that today. Now, how does false teaching arise? How does it get into the church? Where does it come from? It comes from satanic forces. Paul said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the trickery and scheming of the devil. And we need to know this morning that Satan, the devil, is real. He is the highest angel who wants to put himself on the throne where God is. He wants to be God. He wants to be in control. And because he didn't succeed, God did not allow him to do that, and he became the devil, Satan. His origin is in the Bible, in Ezekiel 28. We need to know this morning, he is real. He is anti-God. And he is anti-Christian. So if you are a Christian, you are in spiritual warfare every day and every hour of our life. Now, what is his desire? His desire is to be worshipped. He wanted followers. He wanted worshipers. And that's what he continually wants today. Now, the devil is, quote, missionary. What is missionary? Missionary is reaching out to make your message known, to have converts, to win people, and have them follow. He desires worshipers today. Now, his program is to scheme, to plot, to plan. He's sly, he's slick, he's cunning. Specifically, what does he want? He wants our children. And he uses any and every means to capture their mind and their heart. And he particularly uses the entertainment industry today to capture. How many hours of input do children get of humanistic philosophy? He wants children. And we parents better want them more than he wants them. Secondly, he wants our young people. The most strategic mission field for the church today is the youth of America. And you can talk about going to Africa and India and China all you want. And we've got the mission field right here. He wants our youth out again with the entertainment industry. And with the humanistic philosophies, minds are swayed. If you were Satan, how would you go about winning? How would you go up? Well, you do what he's doing. He's doing exactly what he should be if that's his program. He wants our children, he wants our youth, he wants our families. And the families in America have never been in more trouble than they are today. And I urge you this morning that tomorrow when you go to vote, vote yes on Proposition 22, which saves marriage for a man and a woman. Not a man and a man or a woman or a woman. Vote yes. Next, he wants our churches. And the way he gets our churches is by getting so close to the truth that people are deceived with error. Next, he wants our moral life. He wants us to believe that everything is okay. We shouldn't be against anything or we're intolerant. The religion of our country and the world today is tolerance. If you are against homosexuals, if you are against abortion, you are intolerant. Now, here's an interesting thing. People from the Mormon church particularly are putting up signs on their lawns, vote yes on 22. In certain areas, the opposition, the homosexual community, is robbing those signs and taking them down. Now I ask you, who's being intolerant? Tolerance is not biblical. Biblical Christians are discriminating and are discerning and are willing to battle for truth. Satan wants our spiritual devotion. I've talked to many people who say to me, I've lost my spirituality. Doesn't mean they were Christian, it means they were into Hinduism or Buddhism or yoga or something. And if you can get people into an ism of worship, he's got them. Now, an interesting thing in our day is that Satan is worshipped openly. And in many parties today, young and old, there are seances, there are Ouija boards, there's all kinds of drugs, and Satan is worshipped openly, even with sacrifices of animals, and I have heard of even children here in Southern California. We're at war. It is warfare for our children, our youth, our families, our churches, for our life, for our devotion. He's worshiping. And I can tell you he's after me. And there is pressure. The thing I'm committed to is not to compromise the truth of God. There's pressure to do that because it's so prevalent. Now we need to know that he is the master of deceit. He does not come walking around wearing red flannel nightgown, carrying a pitchfork with him. How does he come? Well, he comes dressed in a suit. He looks good. He can be an angel of light. And with that, he infiltrates the church with counterfeit teaching. He causes people to believe a lie, as he did with Eve. God gave Adam and Eve clear, certain directions, commands. And Satan comes to Eve and says, has God really said? You shall not surely die. He's got her trapped because he brings. We are in war, spiritual warfare. Now John goes on, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every teaching. Test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Here's a command. Do not believe every teaching. You have to be sharp. You have to be discerning. You have to be a thinker. Don't buy why everything you hear or everything you read today, you test it. And how do you test it? With the tool that God has given us. If it is of God, it is biblical. If it is not of God, it is not biblical. It is false teaching. Now, he goes on to say something about the content of this teaching. What is it specifically you would look for or believe from your own heart? Let me read it here. Verse 2. He says, by this, or he says, this is the way you know truth from error. Verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every teaching that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. The basic issue of Christianity, the basic issue of truth and life and error is this: it is Christ. Who is He? Now, the Christian has the confession, that is the conviction, that Jesus is the Christ, incarnate, born of the Virgin Mary. He's in the flesh, He's here. John said, we saw Him, we handled Him, we touched Him, we were with Him. And that is a confession, a conviction that is deep within our hearts. What this is saying is, He is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. I talked to a man on Friday who was not a Christian. We were having a good, nice discussion about what he believed and where he's coming from. And he said, well, he said, I came from a very fundamental Methodist church and had Sunday school and all that, he said, but you know, I didn't follow up. And I said, well, okay, so you were turned off, quote, to religion, but where did that leave you in your thinking about Christ? Who is He to you? He said, well, I could never believe that He's the Son of God, because I look at everything scientifically. And if I can't prove it scientifically, I don't believe it. Now, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God requires the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. You can't find it out intellectually. You can't find it out through philosophy. You can't find it out through your own goodness or through science. It is the revelation that comes from God by the Holy Spirit, whereby we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, what about false teaching? Well, John writes to say that the teaching that is false and is anti-Christ denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's how you tell. Now, we can put up with a lot of differences. We don't care what color the choir robes might be, and we don't care what color the hymn books are. And we don't care whether we meet in a barn or a cave or a sanctuary or a music room. But what we care about is the Lord Jesus Christ, that we worship Him. That's what this is about. The war is real. There are many voices today that want us to follow them. Test. This is the warning. And it's a warning for this morning. Just think of John wrote this probably around 95 AD. And it's still here today. We need this morning. I need this warning. You need this warning. And now John turns from the warning to perhaps the greatest thing we will ever hear or read about. This is the best news that can possibly come to us. You may be here this morning with discouragement. You may be here this morning really out of it a little bit. Here's the best thing you can hear. Take a deep breath. Sit up. Pay attention to this. It's not my idea. It's not my word. It's verse 4. It's the word. God's provision for our warfare. John writes, "You are of God, little children." Now he uses endearing terms. He uses beloved. He calls them little children because he loves them. Reminds me of three qualifications to be a pastor. One, to love the Lord. Secondly, to love God's word. Thirdly, to love God's people. John loved the people. And just a personal word here, I believe that is my true conviction, or I wouldn't be here. If I didn't sense those three things present, I wouldn't be here. And I'm teaching this way because I care and I love God. Now what does he say? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because the one in you is greater than the one who is in the world. That's awesome. That's powerful. Now Satan is real and powerful, but he's no match for the Holy Spirit. He can overpower you and me, but he can't overpower the Holy Spirit. So he identifies the little children. John is writing to Christians. This is not a message for the unbelieving world. This is to believers. And how does he describe the believers? He said they are of God. And the of is a preposition in the genitive case, which means possession. You belong to God. And you have overcome. You have the victory. You are winners. Why? Because we have superior power. The Holy Spirit in us is greater than Satan, greater than false teachers, greater than anything this world can throw at us, greater than anything I can think of in myself. He's greater. And I today would encourage you to take verse 4 with you and just camp on this greater thing. He is greater than in power, in might, in authority. He's higher. He's above. He's greater than our sin. He's greater than our problems. He's greater than our habits. He's greater than our failures. He's greater than our bank account. He's greater than our health. He's greater than our depressions. He is greater than our resistance. If you think you're going to war against God, forget it. You're going to lose. He's going to win. It's unlimited, and I just encourage you to put your own word in there. Greater than anything you can think of. He's greater than any prophet. He's greater than you. Christian, you are of God. You already have a victory. It was won at the cross. When Jesus died and rose again, he defeated Satan in ultimate judgment. He is free for a little while, but not for very long. And we get in on that victory. His victory is my victory. His victory is your victory. And knowing this truth is the greatest empowerment to trust him, to rely upon him, and to count on him. No matter what we are going through, count on the Holy Spirit in his victory over us and in us. There's a story of a little girl who went to the door, and somebody knocking, she opened the door, and it's Satan standing there. She closed the door and went back and took hold of the hand of Jesus and brought him to the door to answer it. You're not alone. You don't have to fight on your own. Rely on him. Trust in him. And be the most encouraged person on the face of the earth today because of mercy. Take it with you. Live with it today and the rest of our lives. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, in my feeble way, I have attempted to be true to this passage of Scripture. And I do not have the persuading power to change any heart or mind. But I know that you do. And I pray here and now this morning that you will go to each one of us and teach us this truth. Grip our hearts with the truth. To know that the Holy Spirit in us is greater than. And that we have the victory in the cross. Make this the greatest day of our life because you've caused us to believe in Jesus' name.